Proverbs chapter 28, and we have gotten all the way to verse 14. How about that? Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. We're presented in this verse with one of the mysterious paradoxes of the Christian faith presented in the Holy Scriptures. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And then in another place, we are told that fearing God is one of the chief duties of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." It's a paradox. How can they both be true? Well, over and over throughout the book of Proverbs, we are told of the profitability, the spirituality, the wisdom, and the joy that the fear of the Lord produces. Now take your Bible and we'll just look at a few of these just for emphasis to see how much this idea is set forth as a principle of wisdom and godliness and service. Doug quoted it this morning. Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Chapter 2 and verse 5, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Chapter 3 and verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil." And if you can, while we're going through these, consider each virtue that is associated with fearing the Lord so that we can better understand what this verse means. In chapter 8 and verse 13, it says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Chapter 9 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Chapter 10 and verse 27, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." Chapter 14 and verse 26, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." Chapter 15 and verse 33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Chapter 16 and verse 6, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." Chapter 19 and verse 23, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." Chapter 22 and verse 4, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." 23 verse 17, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Oh, that was 22:17. 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Chapter 24 and verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Now, I did that as a point of emphasis, of course. That's just a sampling of the scriptures that promote the idea of the fear of the Lord. Now, there is a sacred balance to be sought in order to understand the paradox. Happy is the man that feareth always, and yet the other verse says that there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out fear. Well, you have to understand what the scripture means by the fear of God. The fear of God in the child of God is the reverence and respect that we pay to our Heavenly Father. He is worthy of all our obedience, our love, our adoration, our devotion. And there should be a desire to please Him on the one hand, and a longing to not engage in anything that would offend or grieve Him. Because we love and reverence our Holy Father, we delight in His presence and the opportunity to please Him through cheerful obedience to His commands. On the other hand, we are troubled and grieved when we sin against God to the degree that we have a holy fear of displeasing Him. So it's in this sense that we experience happiness in fearing always. We have this reverence for God, a desire to obey Him, to exalt Him, to glorify Him on the one hand, which involves us wanting to walk in His ways, follow His commandments, and have a holy reverence for them and respect for them to such a degree that when we go against them, we get sorrowful that we have offended our God. And there is a sense that we have a fear of being disrespectful to God. That's in the highest sense. And really, when you bring it down like the way that you were raised, you had a love for your parents, but you also had a fear that you didn't want to do anything that would bring shame upon their name, and you also had a sense that if I mess up and it's my fault and it's willful, I'm going to get chastened. I mean, that's the way I grew up. Now, this kind of holy fear and reverence for God promotes spiritual growth and holiness. The fear of the Lord is an important component of acceptable service. This kind of fearing always, having this respect and reverence and a desire not to displease God, Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So it is this filial, loving fear that honors God, not a fear of His wrath like the ungodly should have. I got a couple of quotes from old writers that may throw some light on this. One of my favorites on the book of Proverbs is old George Lawson. I think he wrote this commentary in 1823 or something. I love the old writers. He said, "The believer in Christ trusts in God as a father, but his confidence is mingled with a deep respect of the holy name of God, which makes him to dread the thoughts of sinning against him more than death, and to tremble at the word of God, lest he should break any of its precepts, or deserve the execution of any of its threatenings, or seem to come short through unbelief of any of its promises." Paul was a triumphant believer who feared neither men nor devils, and reckoned himself perfectly secure against every charge that might be produced against him. And yet he lived in the constant exercise of holy fear, which disposed him to bring down his body and keep it in subjection, lest when he had preached the gospel to others, he himself should be a castaway. He is not an unhappy, but a blessed man, whose heart is continually governed by this kind of fear, this reverence for God. Charles Bridges said this. Try to concentrate when I do read these quotes, because I know a lot of times people will tune you out. These are very significant statements on this subject of the fear of God. Charles Bridges said this. "The righteous is as bold as a lion," Proverbs 28:1. "Yet he feareth always. But Christian courage, though opposed to slavish forms the very essence of godly fear. The three confessors were bold before the Babylonian autocrat, yet they so feared to offend against God that the burning fiery furnace was the better alternative in their eyes. Thus is holy fear every way identified with happiness. It is a fear of reverence, not of bondage, of caution, not of distrust, of diligence, not of despondency. In proportion as we are raised above tormenting fear, we cherish a deep reverence of the majesty and holiness of God, a childlike fear of displeasure, a jealousy over our motives, desires, and the risings of our evil propensities, and an abhorrence and shrinking not only from sin, but from the temptations and occasions of sin." Do you realize how much better our homes, our churches, our society would be if people had an earnest desire out of respect for God to obey His word? That kind of godly fear. But you know, this has been the problem ever since the fall of man. Man does not fear God as he ought. Now those who have no fear of God are guilty of hardness of heart that will ultimately result in judgment. It's a losing battle to harden your heart against God and rebel against His holy commands. I can guarantee you, you're going to lose that battle every time. "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." It is the height of human folly to disregard the warnings of Scripture regarding sin and its awful consequences. God used Pharaoh as an example of what happens to those whose hearts are hardened against God. He stubbornly refused warning after warning and presumed to try and bring the children of Israel back into Egyptian bondage after the 10 plagues. After his own firstborn son was killed by the destroying angel. Think about that. He didn't hearken to God. His heart was hardened. He and his chariots of war were drowned in the Red Sea as a testament to the fact that men cannot go on in stubborn rebellion and not expect to be judged. Pharaoh is presently, right now, in the fires of hell, awaiting the resurrection of the unjust dead when he will be summoned, body and soul, to the great white throne of judgment to determine his place in the lake of fire. Not for a year. Not for 100 years. But of eternal duration. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 and verse 8, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up wrath unto thyself, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath." There is no benefit, there is no upside in hardening your heart against a holy God. Hebrews 3 warns us, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation." You realize that when we as believers harden our heart against God, we're acting like reprobates who have no fear of God? Think about that. The warning is there. May God deliver us from any degree of wandering from the gracious presence of God through any selfish disobedience and lack of godly reverence and holy fear on our part. Because happy is the man that feareth always. And if you wander and you harden your heart, you're going to fall into mischief and chastening as a child of God. If you're lost and you have no fear of God and you continue in your hardness of heart, you will be judged for all eternity. Serious proverb. We're dismissed.